morning, I'm going to read from the rest of that chapter in Acts, because this is significant for the church. The day that the Spirit came down to empower the church really is seen as the birthday of the church. And this is the same Spirit that empowers us in our ministry today. And so I'm going to start here on verse 5. Now, when they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, and when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, Aren't all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of God for us, the people of God, today. Thanks be to God. The Holy Spirit does come and renews the face of the earth. I loved the liturgy that you used with our children. Now, most of you have met the new addition to my family and ministry, my puppy Ruby, right? How many of you here have met? Some of you haven't met Ruby yet. Okay, some of you have. Well, those of you who have met her know that she is 200% a bundle of energy, right? She will bowl you over with her enthusiasm. When she greets someone, this puppy doesn't wag her tail. She wags her whole body. I mean, she has the whole thing going. She is the definition and the portrait of enthusiasm. There are days when life with Ruby is very unpredictable and annoying. Her energy doesn't always match our energy. And she has her ideas about where she wants to go, and I have mine. She's persistent. She comes at you again and again, which makes her the ideal work dog. That's part of her breed. But she doesn't give up on things, but it also makes it exhausting to deal with her. Ruby's spirit is her most endearing trait, but it is also her most challenging. I think most of us feel that same way about our encounter with the Holy Spirit, don't we? That the Holy Spirit greets us with this enthusiasm that just cannot get us more excited and energized and help us to feel more loved and more received by God. And yet the Holy Spirit moves us in unpredictable ways. It's persistent. It comes at us again and again, even when we're not ready to hear it. So it says here in Acts that this, in this scripture, and remember, this scripture documents the history of the early church. It says that there was a strong wind, and that wind filled the whole building. They were inside. It said the wind filled the building. There were devout Jews from every nation there, and each heard their own language. In all that diversity, every voice they heard was spoken in their native language so that they could understand. They were so enthusiastic that they appeared to be drunk. The mystery of our awesome God has a way of sweeping us off our feet. We cannot simply sit back as spectators of Jesus Christ, but we too get caught up in the action. God lives within us, and God moves us by the power of this Holy Spirit. It says in the text, it says that the Holy Spirit works in those who serve God. Not those who are part of a fan club, not those who wear Jesus bracelets and Jesus t-shirts. It says the Holy Spirit works in those who serve God. It says, I will pour out my Spirit on those who serve me, and they will look ahead to a time when everyone will call out for help in my name. Everyone will call out for help in my name. And of course, we read further on in Joel about the coming of the day of the Lord. Barbara Brown Taylor was a preacher and now is a teacher. And she, in a sermon on the Holy Spirit, said that when Jesus on that cross took his last breath, she said the breath hovered in the air in front of him for just a moment, and then it dissipated across the face of the earth. This breath that was so full of passion and life did not get lost. It was loosed upon the earth and all of her people. Now, here's what I want you to think about. The air that Jesus breathed is the same air that we breathe, right? That last breath that was Jesus is the breath that we breathe. We cannot help but breathe in the holy passion of his life. His breath has been multiplied over and over again by the many disciples who went on after him and those who still follow him. The church is a living and breathing organism of that very breath, of the breath of the passion of Jesus Christ. The reality of gathering for Pentecost in that text in Acts was really interesting. They were gathered in Jerusalem for a harvest festival. Pentecost for the Jews, Pentecost for us is the day of the birth of our church, but before that, they were still celebrating Pentecost. Pentecost for the Jews was a harvest festival. And the harvest festival was the festival of first fruits, in which they brought in a perfectly unblemished sheaf of wheat or barley, and they brought that in to wave in front of the altar of the Lord, to offer up a first fruit, a perfect part of the harvest, before the harvest was even accomplished, before the fields had even completed growing, before they were harvested. And in fact, they had to celebrate Pentecost before they could grind any flour, before they could take any of the flour to market, and before they could bake any bread. This was their commitment of thanksgiving to God. They were giving up the very best of what they had before they even knew if the rains and floods would come and damage the fields, before they even knew if they'd have a harvest that would maintain their community or not that year. And they gave their first fruits at this celebration of Pentecost. From every nation, Jews came to offer up their first fruits. Their best, the very best of what they had, they offered to God. That's when the Holy Spirit arrived for Pentecost. That's when the Holy Spirit touched tongues of fire down on the people, when they were giving their best back to God. And the Holy Spirit filled them and moved them and helped them to understand amidst their diversity and amidst their nationality that they could understand the power of God in Jesus Christ in their lives. Christ, Jesus Christ, was the first fruit offering of all the harvest of believers that were to come. Jesus Christ was that first fruit that was lifted up and given to God before God knew how many would come to believe in him. Each and every disciple who has come after Jesus has made their offering at a time in which they have given of themselves to God and the Spirit begins working in their lives. That's the commitment our confirmants are making today. They are making a commitment to believe in a God that they can serve in, a God who loves them and will help them to grow in grace, that they will serve and lift up others to God. Now, confirmation is that time when all of these young people have been baptized. So their parents took an oath, and the churches that baptized them took an oath that said and took a vow and said, we will help support these young people to grow in their faith. Now these young people are making their own decision. They have been nurtured in the faith through Sunday school. They have been nurtured through Vacation Bible School. Through mission, they have been nurtured and given of themselves. Many of them nurtured during children's time, just like Darlene offered. This year, our confirmation students gave up 2 hours every other Sunday to listen and to learn about God, 2 hours of their time on Sundays. They visited worship services in outside churches and synagogues, places outside of their faith tradition. They learned a lot about the church. They learned about the liturgical seasons of the church, the authority of Scripture, and the importance of worship. And they learned the Apostles' Creed. What I want to say to the congregation this morning is that these young and faithful and gifted people, these confirmants, are those who can teach us how the church is to live and breathe today. They are the ones who can teach us how we are to live and breathe and move. I hope that we can offer them some wisdom from our life experiences, and I hope we are faithful in praying with them and for them. But what I really think is that we need to listen to them. Just like in this Acts 2 experience, when the Spirit is at work, the diversity in ages and languages doesn't matter. The Spirit provides and promotes for understanding. Are we willing to allow the Spirit to be enthusiastic? Are we willing to invite the unpredictable into our church? And what I want to say to our confirmands this morning, each and every one of you, is that you are gifted. You carry gifts of God's Spirit. You are an important part of our congregation. I know that this year we have succeeded in some of our efforts with you, and I know we've failed in some of our efforts with you. But this morning does not mark the end of something. It's not the end of your journey at this church. It is the beginning of your journey with this church. God intends that your gifts continue to be shared in our worship time and in our fellowship time, in our mission and in our service. But the very last lesson that I want to offer to our confirmands today, and I really hope that this was the first thing that you ever learned about God, but I want you to know how deeply God loves you. How special and precious you are in God's sight. That God loves you completely and fully. That whatever difficulty you may be dealing with, that there is nothing you can do to make God love you less. God loves you. And there is nothing you can do about that. God wants you to live a full and whole life. You are God's precious people. God's saving grace in Christ makes it possible to always know God. And because of Pentecost, because of what we celebrate today, the Spirit will always greet you with enthusiasm. The Spirit will always show you a way to understand more of God's love. God's love may not always be predictable, but it is persistent. And God's love will always find you. Always. Jesus sent his Spirit into the world so that we could live a life full and complete. It is the Holy Spirit that sanctifies our lives. This means that the Holy Spirit empowers us to leave our sinful natures behind, to let go of anything that interrupts and causes difficulties in our relationships. Jesus' command, his one command, was to love God and love one another. And we don't do that without the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Loving others perfectly is a sure sign that God in Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is at work in our lives. It is the power of the Holy Spirit when we remain devoted and honor one another. It is the work of the Holy Spirit when we care for and minister to one another. It is the work of the Holy Spirit when we get along well in work and in play. It is the work of the Holy Spirit when our humility and acceptance for another is expressed in community. Through the Holy Spirit, we inspire one another to good deeds. We breathe one another's breath and passion for life. We are no longer part of a fan club for Jesus. We are part of a living and breathing body of Christ in this world. The full Pentecostal blessing is intended for the whole family of God. And as we confirm these gifted young people, we wait and we hope for this. Amen. Amen.